Brass Tack Sunday. Let's go to the telephones. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Greetings to you and all your guests in the panel, to Mr. Johnson and to all our listeners. This morning, as I listen in to your forum, I see the focus on the family has come up. What we need to get men to understand is that the family originates with the Creator, and He put the man as the head of the family. It is also, we should also understand that the woman have an equal responsibility in raising that family. They are also responsible for each other's feelings and emotions. The problem arises, however, is that man has lost or disassociated himself with the one who created the family in the first place and ceased to follow the instructions given out by him. And by not following those instructions, we find ourselves in a lot of problems. We also need to help women to understand, when it's with women, girls especially, to understand that boys, even when they're growing up, are the head. I want to say this to you what I mean. I have a grandson. He's 6 years old. His oldest sister is 18. And they said to her, listen, this is the head of the house, you know.
What does that mean? And what does that really mean?
What it really means?
Yeah.
To get them to understand, regardless of how old he is, that is the original. That is the
No, I don't. I want you to tell me how that plays out in the relationships between men and women, being the head of the whole household. What that means?
It means the man is to take the lead in the household. The responsibility lies with the man.
The responsibility where in doing what?
In making decisions, in making decisions and directions, so to speak. He also have to help the woman to understand that by loving her, it doesn't mean that it's soft.
All right, well, look, this discussion really is focused on the challenges that men are facing in this country, challenges that are playing out in so many ways. All I have to do to see what is happening to men is to go down by Parliament buildings this afternoon at 5 o'clock, 5:30, and you will see how many men scramble out of the woodwork to be fed in this country. This has nothing to do with the near 900 men that we have in jail and the many men who are frustrated because for whatever reason they have not been able to find their place in this country. If men are in that kind of state, a state of frustration and confusion, they can't lead anybody because
Absolutely.
They're not even leading themselves. So
Absolutely.
That's where the focus needs to be.
Yes. So how do we help men find themselves? How do we help men redefine themselves? How do we get men to a place of positive self-regard? How do we get men to a place where they honor their emotions, not bury them? How do we get men to a place where they recognize them, honor them, but then make decisions about what they do with them? You know, all of us can get angry. All of us can be frustrated, moments of loneliness, etc. But what do we do? What do we do about those emotions? Somebody talked earlier, I think it was Kenneth talked earlier about the things that we are supposed to give to our children, we are supposed to give to our wives and our partners, etc. The reality is that I can't give you, I mean, in fact, our model says you must first know yourself. That is, you must have language to express and explain what you're feeling. You must be able to recognize your own patterns. Some of your patterns allow you to be effective. Some of your patterns take away from your effectiveness. You must know self. Then you must become a conscious choice maker. What does that mean? That means that something has happened. Something has been said to which my emotional response was anger, frustration, regret, guilt, inadequacy, whatever. So I have that emotion, but what do I do about it? Can I think consequentially? Can I think about my actions before I act? Can I navigate my emotions? That is, can I have an emotion but not get sucked in? Can I have an emotion and not become the slave to my emotion? Can I master my emotion by navigating that emotion? Can I get to a place where I am intrinsically motivated, that what motivates me is not something outside of me, but that deep sense of myself, that sense of purpose, that sense of reason for being? Those things must be in place. There's a work by a man called Stephen Covey. He says that before we can be effective with others, he calls that your public victories. Before you can be effective in the public space, with your partner, with your children, in your community, in your place of work, before you can be effective with others, you must first be effective with yourself. He calls that your private victories. That private victories must precede public victories. Our model says that you must know yourself. You become a conscious choice maker, choose yourself. And when those two are in place, now you can give yourself. Now you can hold space for someone else. You can contemplate somebody else's feelings, somebody else's emotions, somebody else's need. You can give yourself to a cause. So that private victories must precede public victories. What do we need? I said we need some national initiative that begins this conversation and helps people to develop this awareness and develop these skills of social and emotional learning.
This person writes, the black male is under threat all over the world, not only in Barbados. There is a view that when you look at what is happening, it is part of a structure that was put in place a long time ago, and it is just being perpetuated. And the issues that we are confronting here are all part and parcel of what is supposed to happen coming out of the structure that exists. And therefore, whether you are in Barbados, Jamaica, New York, or Atlanta, or Chicago, which is a very good example of it, what is happening is that your black male is just disoriented and does not know where he is going. And then, on top of all of that, he's in a culture where he's constantly told that he is no good, no use, and as a result, that helps to push him further and further down. What are your thoughts on this as a panel?
I think I would take a shot at this one. You see, the thing is that we continue to say that the women are excelling and women are moving forward, and it appears as if men are moving back. I don't think that men are moving back. I think that men have become extremely comfortable, and because the women are now progressing in their various areas of strength, you know, it would appear as if men are moving back. If you're running a race and a man and somebody, you know, at 100 meters and somebody at 50 meters, and they're just there and they stop there and somebody just move past them, you know, you just stay. I think men are not taking opportunities, because women exist in the same environment that we exist in. Women are given pretty much the same opportunities that we men have. I mean, the university is there. I don't think when I look at the application forms, they say, all right, we can put the women here, the men there, you know. So I think that men have developed this sense of I'll be bold and say laziness, because they're not being as proactive as they should. And that is why support organizations like the one we have, like Men Empowerment Network Support, you know, we need to try to motivate these men, try to get these men, as Tony would have mentioned, get at the core, you know, deal with the whole emotional position of these men, to get these men thinking differently. I see that they have to find a way where they can dig deep inside, pull on their strengths, and move forward for the whole betterment and productivity of society generally, and even families, you know. And instead of just sitting back and saying, well, look, you know, the women are excelling and the women going forward or whatever, you know, let us focus on self and try to find where we can excel within ourselves, as opposed to pointing the finger at other people.
Any other observations on it?
Yeah, if I can jump in.
For what Fabian said, right? Mm-hmm. I want to add something. And this is going back to the whole socialization and education. Now, if you listen to what Ian said in terms of how males are not doing so well in school, this is my own observation, and I like to stick with the empirical, but observation is important as well. My own wife's feminism has changed now that my daughter has reached 5 and my son has reached 3. Why? You know, there's a whole debate about not letting the boys play with the dolls versus have to play with the dolls or not. But watch this. Even if my son decides to play with the doll, he plays with the doll different to how my daughter plays with the doll. You understand? Now, one of the things I've recognized is that you would notice in girls playing, they sit and they play teacher and they comb the hair and they brush the hair in a very settled way. And boys, they more walk outside and play in the mud and get the truck and vroom, 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 very active. Now, when you put the male and the female in the school setting that we have currently to sit, keep quiet, and to listen to teacher, you have to ask yourself who has an advantage and who has a disadvantage. I think that, along with many other methodologies we use for the way we do education, do schooling, is the reason why, yes, Fabian University is there, but it is not applied for at the same rate. It is accessible, yes, because once you are able to get your 5 CXCs or you meet the matriculation level, whatever that is, it is not discriminated based on gender, but you're really behind the 8 ball. And I want to use this point that now I have the mic really to underscore again, something that Tony Walton was saying. This whole idea, these national initiatives, sitting in that chair that you're sitting in now, David, and listening Sunday after Sunday on every social issue, it all comes back down to caring. It all comes back down to a lot of different root causes. And one of the things that I recognize, as Tony said, we need some national initiatives to deal with a number of the issues that we have. But the sad thing about it is that I do not see anything on the horizon. I do not see any appetite for anything like this. When you look at all of the national initiatives, we have 150,000 men, but you have a situation where the men's organization, MISO, have not supported to the level that they can even take on a fraction of that. You have 20 men here, 20 men there, but you need to get to 150,000 before something like CBC would have been, you know, that national thing that reaches across the board. But no, people have DirecTV, you know, iBox, Apple TV. So you have no national reach whatsoever outside of the school system. And therefore, we have to either use the school system or create national initiatives that reach people en masse. If, until and unless we do that, we will continue to have these discussions, as Tony said, 2 generations from here, not one, generation after generation after generation. So we need to have these cognitive spaces, emotional intelligence spaces, and national initiatives. But sadly, guys, as a realist, I must say, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I want to suggest something to you. You know, it touches the society in such a stark way, because if we do not get more of the men to come to terms with the issues, it is not only playing out in the extreme way where we've had 49 murders last year. Most of the people who are killed are men. Most of the people who kill them are men. But it also plays out in a situation here where the young women now are going to school, they're getting well educated, and then they can't find a partner in this country. It really is a bit challenging for many of them. And therefore, that then plays out again with respect to the family and the raising of the children. Here's this woman here who says, I'm the mother of an 8-year-old boy whose father found it so easy to just get up and walk out 7 years ago. She says that up to this day, I don't know what the issue was or is. She goes on to say, it scares me when I hear the experts constantly say that a boy is doomed if his father isn't around. What are you supposed to do if the father is not around or doesn't know or doesn't have a clue how to parent and how to instill values? And this other person says, I'm a Barbadian woman and I'm thrilled at this program. Too many people are quick to condemn the youth, particularly young men, without realizing that it is how these young men were treated when they were boys, how they were parented or not, that is largely responsible for who they are now. Let's take another call. Brass Tack Sunday. Hello.
Good morning to you, David, and your panel.
Good morning.
I must compliment the organization, but the gentleman, one of the gentlemen, was speaking about choices. And at the end of the day, whatever you teach, what infrastructure you put in place, at the end of the day, the individual has a choice to make. My problem with men is that they are not making positive choices. And we always want to reflect on their bringing up. And let me give you a personal example. When I was raising up, if I had 10 men in my neighborhood, including my father, 9.5 used to beat their wives or their women. It became something as a norm in my neighborhood. I have two brothers and a colleague raised up in that same neighborhood. And we made an oath when we got a certain age that we will never, ever place our hand on a woman because she does not belong to us. The same way you come out of an environment with negative and you can turn positive, it leaps up to the particular individual to make that choice. And society, Barbadian society, does not allow, permit, encourage men to express their feelings, their emotions, whether it be publicly or behind the door. And we made a oath to ourselves that we will raise our children the best way we can. Every chance you get, you love them. And fathers and husbands need to understand something. I was only speaking to my last son, and we were having a conversation, and he said to me, "Dad, you know you don't remember the toys and the gifts that you buy, but I remember the days that we went in the park and sit down and talk, and we had discussions, and you treated me like a gentleman, like a man, telling me certain things." These is situations where men and fathers need to understand. And society does not allow or permit or encourage that sort of activity, and it's sad. And I believe organizations such as NISA, this organization, even the women's organization, should come together, as the gentleman talked about having a national program, not only look at men, look at individuals, teach persons to respect other persons' space, beliefs, feelings, and treat persons the way they would like to be treated. A lot of our men look for the easy way out, throw the hand up in the air, and won't blame this and the next and the third. By the end of the day, is the decision that you make. If
you know, one of the things I got to tell you, though, there got a lot of men like you who talk like this, who don't listen to men when they got problems.
That is not, well, I is one that listens to problems from men and women.
You listen, one of the biggest problems men have in this country
is
that other
you?
Men don't care.
They don't care.
Because the men themselves are going through their own challenges.
Yes.
Yeah, majority of the men, you will sit down, and we met laugh and sport at the event instead of coming together and deciding, let me see how best we can assist this colleague in getting over the situation. But that's society again. If a gentleman go to the police and say, listen, my wife no beat me, you met laugh and sport at him. And that's the reality. How can we change it?
I think that that's a situation that is, I constantly hear a lot of men saying that, right? But I, from experience and what I've been seeing, I think that that is changing. I think that there's a different type of culture starting to happen within the police force. I see that there are police who are actually, and men who are responding differently. You know, while yes, I do agree that it was the culture in the past where men could not approach the police station, I think that, that they are now becoming a lot more, I should say, tolerant. In terms of, I don't know if it's their training that they're getting or what have you, but I think that there is a change. And just a bit, just to touch back on something you mentioned, you know, you see parenting is a critical factor. I mean, I didn't raise it before, but Coralina could tell you this is years now, that I am one advocating for a national parenting program, and that probably can be merged with the program that Tony Olton has also spoken about. We need to have a real serious look at parenting styles and how we parent. Not that you're telling people how to parent, but you're giving them extra skills to add to their toolbox to assist them in that entire parenting process. Okay? We must also acknowledge that a lot of broken men are broken children.
Yes.
And that is what, I think it came a bit earlier, but probably in a different way. But many parents are struggling with their childhood issues. I mean, I can one off the top of my head. A gentleman I spoke to recently, his mother told him one thing when he was 9 years old. And as a man now near 60 years old, that one scenario and situation, I think that he went through with his mother, is plaguing him, his relationship, and even his ability to parent near 50 years, more than 50 years.
What is it she told him?
Something pertaining to his let me say paternity. You know, I really don't want to get too deep into it.
Okay.
I think that she mentioned to him something about, you know, she should have left him where he was supposed to be or whatever the case is, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, you know. And I mean, he took that. I mean, his self-confidence, everything broke from then until now. And it's just confidence is something that a man, if not taken in a real serious way, can really, really, really work towards the detriment of his total existence. Because to be a parent, you must be confident. To approach relationships, there must be a degree of confidence in that relationship. You know, in a job space, there must be confidence. Even if you engage in sporting activities. So confidence is critical. I mean, you can degrade or destroy something as simple as confidence in a child from that early age. You can see how it can manifest all through adolescence, young adult, and even latter adulthood. So, I mean, we must get back to a point of training parents and training individuals to look at their whole concept of emotional intelligence.
So talk to the female who has a son and has no father figure present. How does an organization like yours see your role in assisting people in that kind of position so that you get the best for this child?
So our organization, we're looking at a series of mentorship programs for 2021. But from my experience with mentorship programs and programs generally, I think it must be done in the right way, because mentorship is about personalities. You just don't take up anybody because you're a man and put him with a boy because you're a boy. We have to go through a process of screening. We have to go through a process of identifying the strengths and the personalities within the organization. And then that would help us then shape the program. But we've already identified some schools. We've been approached by one in particular. We're still in negotiations with that one. But coming into the new year, we really want to get into mentorship. And not only mentorship, but we want to move our men's thoughts out of the four walls that we currently have it in, to a more open setting and move it around Barbados, move it across the blocks, and try to get out there to reach other young men. And we have a counseling program, and parents that, as you mentioned, that have a young boy who don't have a father figure. And I wouldn't say that don't have a father figure, because once you exist in society, there are men around. There may not be a man in the household, but you may have a man within the school, whether it be a teacher, whether it be an uncle, a grandfather, or somebody that child can definitely look to, or he probably may look to, and she may not even know, okay, as a role model. But if she wants something more formal, she can reach out then to organizations like ours who may have a more structured limited mentorship program, where we can connect that youngster with some trained positive men. Because again, we've got to be very careful with who we team up our values and our boys with, because everybody, all of our value systems are not the same, and you got to know exactly what it is you're working towards.
I think
I want to David.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to engage that question out of a personal experience. I grew up in a house. Our father left home, I'm told, when I was 2 years old. Lived in the house with my grandfather, who had little engagement. Actually, it's only in the last 3 or 4 years I figured out what his problem was. His problem was that my mother had me when she was 17, just turned 18. And he was very big into church. And my grandfather never engaged us as boys growing up. But at school, there was a man called Erskine Armstrong. There was a man called, English teacher called Richard Day. Englishman, that is, Richard Day. And there was the commandant of our cadet corps, Ronald Clark. It is only in latter years that I understood that those men were mentoring me. And then in my 20s, I met a man called Charles Patterson that had significant influence in my life. And the point that I'm making is that there are good men around. there are solid, good men around in the schools, in all kinds of organizations. So for that mother who has no father figure, just find men like that in the schools, in organizations, in their places of work, etc., who can provide some kind of counsel and support for that person's son. Beyond that, I want to be a little bit more specific now. And Fabian and I have talked about what we can do for men in going forward. I would like to see I would want to see and support a national initiative in which we seek to train 5,000 men in emotional intelligence. That's what specific national initiative I would ask for support for. We would lead that charge to train 5,000 men over the next 2 years in emotional intelligence. You know, scripture says that we're not to despise small beginnings. That would be a small beginning. But I think if we could have 5,000 men farmed out across Barbados who understood emotional intelligence, who themselves were living emotional intelligence, and who saw emotional intelligence as a construct that could significantly shift the nature of our dialogue, the nature of our engagement, how we function with each other. And then I think we would have gone some significant way in transitioning out from the current challenges we're having, and perhaps in another 4, 5, 6, 10 years, see the change that we want to see. So that's a specific call today for support for an initiative to train 5,000 Barbadian men in social and emotional learning, otherwise known as emotional intelligence.
David, can they comment?
Mr. Olton, before you go on to that, though, I get some comments here from people who essentially come across as though they're saying, well, you're making excuses for men. These men need to take responsibility. That is the term that they're using.